What the matrix concerning the causes of poverty tries to illustrate is that good intentions are not enough, and that even governments which mean well may be able to achieve better. And there are three reasons for this. First, we know that there are a number of mechanisms that lead to the intergenerational transmission, reproduction of poverty. Indeed, in an OECD report of 2018 called The Broken Social Elevator, it is shown that in some countries it may take 6, 7, even 11 generations before a person born in a low-income family is able to reach the mean income of the society in which he or she lives. And we need, therefore, to invest much more in early childhood in order to break this vicious cycle of poverty. And as we know from the Heckman curve, named after the Nobel Economics laureate James Heckman, the earliest we invest in childhood, the more effective that investment shall be, and the highest the economic returns can be expected. A second reason why good intentions are not enough is because many people in poverty experience obstacles in reaching the public services that are meant to support them. And there's a huge gap between the legal coverage of certain protections and the effective coverage benefiting people in poverty. We need to address these obstacles. We need to address corruption. We need to address discrimination and segregation. We need to address the question of non-take-up of rights. Many people in poverty can be ashamed of claiming the benefits that normally they should be granted, or indeed, they may fear contacts with social services after having experienced instances of institutional or social abuse. We need also to provide people in poverty with access to remedies so that they can challenge the exclusion that they face from certain public services. Now, there are two tools in order to overcome these obstacles. The first one is to ensure that people in poverty effectively participate in designing, implementing, and evaluating the public services they are meant to benefit from. This is the best way to allow us to identify the very real obstacles people face, and it is the best means to ensure that services to the poor shall not be poor services, to borrow from the phrase of Richard Titmuss. Indeed, in many cases, outcome indicators in development studies do not really assess the quality of the services provided. And without people in poverty participating in shaping those policies, that quality may be very poor as a result of the service providers not being held accountable. And the second tool to overcome these obstacles is simply to adopt a rights-based approach to the provision of public services. This would allow people in poverty to challenge discrimination, exclusion. This would allow them to have access to independent monitoring bodies if they face exclusion from certain services. Now, the third reason why good intentions are not enough is that governments are in an international environment which may or may not enable them to develop pro-poor policies that reduce poverty and that effectively tackle inequalities. The international environment may or may not support the efforts of governments in this regard. And there is a constant struggle in this regard between the human rights regime on the one hand and the other regimes of international law in the areas of trade investment, of taxation, of debt restructuration that may make it very difficult for poor countries to mobilize the resources they need to effectively tackle poverty. For example, let us recall that the total public foreign debt of low-income countries tripled between 2000 and 2018, and today the debt of developing countries reaches a staggering $5.5 trillion. Let us also recall that in many cases, when loans are provided to countries in need, these loans are accompanied with conditionalities linked to the privatization of certain public enterprises or public services and to trade liberalization. Let us remember that international cooperation in the field of taxation still remains extremely weak, as a result of which there is a regulatory competition between countries in the field of tax collection, with an enormous loss in public revenues for all countries and with immense opportunities for transnational corporations to basically escape taxation by presenting their profits in tax havens rather than where the economic activity is performed. The IMF has estimated in 2015 that the loss from base erosion and profit shifting amounted to some $650 billion per year. So the international environment may make it difficult to mobilize resources necessary to challenge poverty and may press countries into making regulatory choices that will not be the best for them to develop an inclusive economy. So to conclude, the matrix seeks essentially to stimulate a discussion on the interaction between these levels and multiple causes of poverty. It seeks to help identify responsibilities across these different levels, and it helps to improve accountability. Thank you.